We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Another edition of the Mountaineer Insider. Thanks everyone for joining us wherever you are and whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast. Dale Wolfley likes to listen back about 3 a.m. when he's searing a steak just to try to get through the night. His stomach starts to growl, and you know what, man? You're hungry. West Virginia is hungry for a big victory coming up here on Saturday against the Kansas Jayhawks. Much at stake. No pun intended, my brother.
No pun taken, brother.
Did I catch you off guard there?
No, you know what, man? That's good. You want to talk about stakes? I'll tell you what's at stake. Bowl game, extra practices, developing the youth of the Mountaineers, a chance for the brand to go out there and shine in post game. There's so much at stake about this that's so important to win this game so you can go out there and achieve what you want. It's also, hey, you know it's about recruiting as well, mm-hmm. and being able to say, hey, we're going to a bowl game, an opportunity to go year one at 5 wins, year two at 6, and hopefully with a bowl game win, that you'd be 7 wins. So, again, that is so important to show improvement and to keep the brand going, keep it rising. What was it, Dan? It's the climb, right?
Yeah, man.
Nobody said the climb was going to be easy, especially when you took over this time period of COVID coming in and just all kinds of things. The transfer portal. Yeah. You think about name, image, likeness. Yeah, so many different things.
A lot going on, and a lot going on at Kansas. Obviously, it's been tumultuous there. Mm-hmm. Everything that happened with Les Miles. But it looks like they've got a pretty steady hand at long last. A very impressive Lance Leipold. He gets that first all-time victory at DKR Memorial Stadium a couple of weeks ago. The overtime victory that had everybody in Austin
Huge.
Up in arms. Mm-hmm. So this is a 2-win Kansas team, right? And they're still, you know, going through what they've been going through for years. But it looks like finally somebody is there that has the right idea,
right.
frankly. So this is a team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that does present some problems. And this is not just going to be another ho-hum trip to Lawrence where you can just check the box and come out of there with a win.
No, Danny, especially since they switched quarterbacks and Jalen Thomas. He's had two victories. One victory against Texas and then a close game against TCU. He's changed the offense. Whatever you thought about the offense going into the last two games, it's different. With Jalen Thomas there, he's a dual-threat quarterback. He's throwing the ball fairly decent. The offensive line has been performing. Neal's been running the ball well, and he is a real threat in the run game.
All right, so that's what we have going on the football field, but also a big Saturday evening showdown on the soccer pitch. As a big congratulations to Dan Stratford and the West Virginia Mountaineers. He joins us right now on the Mountaineer Insider podcast. To the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2007. It went to penalty kicks against Virginia Tech this past weekend at Dick Dolesk Soccer Stadium. Danny Strats, how are we doing, man? Big congratulations to you.
Thanks very much. I'm doing well.
So take us through Saturday and just the unbridled emotion that Saturday was.
Yeah, I think first of all, obviously really, really pleased to be seeded and to have ourselves as the 11th seed going into the game and knowing that we were going to get to play at home. But there's still some pressure inevitably that comes with the NCAA tournament. So first and foremost, I was just really proud of the players' performance, especially the first half where we dictated tempo, played just as we have all season, and didn't show any nerves or any signs of feeling the pressure of the occasion. So I was really pleased with how we handled that part. Obviously disappointed that the game went to 1-1, because I do think we were the deserving team and the team that deserved to advance. If you've got to do it through penalties and we've got to draw our way to a national championship, then I'll absolutely take it. But I might just be bored or completely gray by the time the season's over, if that's the case.
Hey, Danny, you thought last year that you probably should have been in the tournament, and this year you are now advancing. Talk about how you're taking this program on and how it's changing.
Yeah, I think we were really, really unfortunate not to be a tournament team last season. I think if it had been a full selection of 48 teams making the NCAA tournament in the spring, then we would have. Obviously, it was a shortened 36-team bracket. So that was very, very disappointing. I think the goals and objectives for this season were to be an at-large team. We obviously knew that we have a challenging conference and, trying to put all your eggs in that basket of securing an AQ is going to be very, very difficult. So we wanted to feel like we were going to be an at-large team this year and kind of leave no doubt. Obviously, with the start we had to the season, that bar shifted very, very quickly and the ambition and goals for the program changed very, very quickly to say, okay, can we be a top 10 team right now? That's the long-term goal is to be there and to stay there. And for every season, for us to be in contention for a national championship. So perhaps we've got there a little bit quicker than we anticipated, because I think that's what I'm dealing with right now with a team that can compete with anyone in the country and that can easily go on a run here and make it not just to the Final Four, but go on and win the whole thing. So that's always been the ambition for me and for this program. I'm obviously pleased that we have the platform right now and the potential to do that this season, which is just fantastic.
So how do you get to a place faster than you originally anticipated? That sounds like a coach's dream, quite frankly.
I think, I have to give the players an incredible amount of credit. Obviously, there's been two quite large recruiting cycles, bigger than usual, I suppose, to feel like we get the depth of quality and to achieve that aspect of things where we truly feel like we have... I believe I have the best bench, if you like, that I've ever had in college coaching to this point in my career. So from that perspective, I think we made a lot of really, really good strides in recruiting and getting the quality of depth that we felt was necessary. But the rest of the credit goes to the players for being coachable, being open to change, for those that, if you like, inherited me as their head coach, especially the leaders in the group and some of those senior figures who, just have been really, really bought into what it is we've tried to do, the identity that we've tried to play with, and the culture that we've tried to create. So, I provide the message. They're the ones that have got to go and execute it, and they've done a fantastic job of that this season.
So as the bandwagon grows this time of year, and you've got some folks maybe popping out of the woodwork, that's only natural when you have success and when you win second round games in the fashion that you did against Virginia Tech. And then anytime somebody hears Sweet 16, obviously a lot of folks all of a sudden, you know, that they've been fans the whole way. But that's maybe not the case. But while we have this platform, as you mentioned, let's talk about what you have and who you have that with. In other words, what is your team? Who are they? Describe those to folks that are maybe just jumping aboard, if you will.
Yeah, humble would be the word I would use. At the top of that, I think we have a set of core values within this program where humility is a huge feature, not just for the players but for the staff as well. To understand that I essentially work with 18 to 23 year olds, give or take, and with respect to each of them, they for the most part show up as kids, and we try to turn them into men in some way, shape or form, and that doesn't come without a huge dose of humility on a consistent basis to say there is still room to grow, there is still room to develop and improve. So we've had an incredibly consistent approach to the season, and those players have shown great humility when we beat number three Pittsburgh and then went back to back to beat Penn State as well, that we continue to try and improve and develop so that when we had some disappointments in the middle part of the season, it was still approached and addressed the same way it was in the first game of the season, the second game of the season, and so on and so forth. It's been its own little roller coaster this year just because we had such a great start and got very, very, went from unranked to fifth in the country, which I just don't think happens. To then obviously having some results that didn't go our way, which within our sport is almost inevitable. But the way the players have handled that aspect of things, their resilience and their ability to deal with adversities has continued to improve and continue to grow. So that's all, if you like, based on a foundation of having incredible humility and not getting too high when you might be full victim of that when you beat ranked teams, and then obviously not getting too low when you might lose to someone or not pick up a result against the lesser team. So that humility and that consistency to the grind and to what our approach has been has probably been the mainstays of the identity of this program.
Yeah, and as you try to continue to make the mainstays and improve the brand, let's just imagine that I'm a soccer player. Okay, I know that's really hard.
Oh, Danny. Boy, that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Just imagine. What are you telling me that you want me to come to play for you at WVU? And what do you have to offer a really good soccer player? Football. I can say football, right? Football, soccer player.
Well, firstly, I think I'm in an incredibly fortunate position that we have the facilities, amenities, resources to compete with really anyone in the top 25 in the country within the Division I climate. I think what we believe separates us to perhaps the rest of the country and where we try to showcase ourselves is in the details, is in the true professionalism of how we approach every game, every training session. There are things that will provide a recruit where we're trying to show how we're going to develop them. I think we try to be very, very process oriented as opposed to outcome related, if you like. Again, we could lose a game and I could look at an individual and say, well, you didn't play very well today, so you're not going to play next week. But it's a four year growth period that we have these players for. And there's a way to approach them, speak to them, nurture them to help them to continue to improve and ultimately understand that if we do that, then the long-term advantages of working with that player in that fashion are only going to continue to improve the team incrementally. So I think they should expect to have a very honest but very constructive staff that's going to tell them when they fall short of the standard, but also going to do it in a fashion that helps them understand and provides a solution to perhaps some of their shortcomings, whether it be a work ethic thing, a technical thing, a tactical thing. We have a lot of tools, a lot of tangible things that we share with recruits to show them how we develop them, and that their growth and improvement isn't simply a consequence of them being in a good environment, because there are plenty of good environments around Division One. It's because there's a concerted effort, a real level of concern and detail for the welfare of their student athlete. And the last part I would say to that is ultimately the player's willingness to receive and execute our message relates to the quality of relationship that we can develop with the student athlete and the player from that standpoint. So we try to make sure that there's a lot of informal conversations, a lot of growth in that regard in terms of developing a relationship with the player, so that, you know, when it comes to the crunch, I can say, hey, I need you to work even harder, I need you to do this even better, and it might elicit an even greater response because there's a level of mutual respect between player and coach.
Dan, let's talk Tulsa here. Saturday night, 8:00. You're heading out to Oklahoma here very shortly, so you're going to have some time to post up and get comfortable. The early scouting report on them, some early keys.
Yeah, I think they have a very, very clear identity in terms of how they play, how they try to build the game. They're certainly a possession-oriented team. They're quite stubborn in that style of play. So we'll need a plan to to respect it, but also to make them earn it in that regard. We're a possession-oriented team as well. So as I've said to the players, now's the last time. Now's not the time for us to go away from what we've done well all season. It's to double down on what our identity is and to try and be the team on the front foot. So inevitably, you know, with this stage in the tournament, the quality of competition is going to improve, and I think it has with respect to Tulsa versus Virginia Tech. So we have a tough game ahead of us, but it's a game that we're going to try and face head on. We're not going to go there and sit back. We're not going to go there and be passive. We're going to take it to them, and we're going to show them that this is the best team that they've played against all season.
An opportunity to make history, quite frankly, something that hasn't happened in over 40 years, Dan, is that's not lost on your men, I would assume. You don't want them to put pressure on themselves, but they have a historical opportunity on their toes here coming up Saturday.
Definitely, and it's absolutely not lost on me as someone that obviously played at this program and was fortunate enough to make it to the Sweet 16. I know how hard it is to advance beyond that in the national tournament. So it's not to provide any pressure. It's also it's honestly to provide them some excitement, motivation, to really seize this opportunity, to understand that when we go and play Tulsa, we can compete with this team. We are as good as them, if not better. I truly believe that, and I want the players to believe that, and really seize this opportunity. We spoke a lot before the Virginia Tech game about, while it's postseason and while that's often associated with the end of the season, this should feel like the beginning. This should really, really feel like the beginning of a five-game stretch here, and five wins to advance through each round, one game at a time, and win a national championship. So we've won one, we've advanced through one, and this is just number two of five.
Well, all the best to you. The entire state is pulling for you. We are certainly going to be multitasking on Saturday evening. We're going to be bouncing back and forth. And, you know, the split-screen television is one of the great inventions, I think, of the modern era. So you're going to have football on one half of the screen. You're going to have soccer on the other half of the screen. And I'm sure there's plenty of room on the bandwagon, Coach. And you're waving them in like a third base coach in baseball.
Well, I've been here long enough now that I understand the analogy, so I appreciate it, and we definitely welcome them on board.
All right, all the best to you, Coach Dan Stratford.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah, man.
I mean, this is history time.
He's big time.
I'm telling you what. All he does is win. That's all he does.
So the last time West Virginia was in the Sweet 16 was when Dan was a player here at WVU, his senior year back in 2007. They have not been to an Elite Eight Wolf since 1981, 40 years. And that was right about the time when Ronnie was coming to WVU, right?
Yeah, I was coming to WVU as a kid, man, just, you know, hanging out. I'll tell you what. That's special. That's history. I mean, that's history that's hasn't been a history. You know what I mean?
And what is this? Essentially year three for him, and then everything that's gone on in with COVID. Just wild what he's been able to do. But when you hear him speak, you can just hear that. I mean, this is a guy. And listen, I've never spent a second on a pitch, and clearly you've not either, right? You never played soccer, did you?
I was the goalie.
What?
I'm talking elementary now.
Smart move.
You know what I mean? There's no way I'm running up and down the field, Danny. No way, man. It's I'm the goalie, and you know, at least I could have if I didn't move, it was still percentage they would hit me. I mean, because I was bigger than everybody else.
Yeah, this is true. But nevertheless, you could just tell that he, no matter if he was running, you know, a local, you know, convenience store, he would be doing it at a high level. Dan Stratford,
professional,
really. Big time pros pro. And that's Saturday at 8 o'clock, West Virginia at Tulsa. Well, that'll do it for us here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Special thanks to David Kahn and, of course, Coach Stratford for joining us. Hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. We'll be providing coverage on the radio side at 3:30 for the 7 o'clock kick at Kansas. And we'll, of course, be keeping one eye on everything that's going on. And we'll have continued updates real time on the radio side of this big time Sweet 16 soccer match. So for all of us at MSN Radio, hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. And oh, by the way, happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're on the couch. Maybe you've loosened the belt buckle one notch, or in your case three, Wolfman, because you're going to throw down the white, you're going to throw down the dark, you're going to throw down every casserole known to mankind with a little pecan pie to boot. So happy Thanksgiving to you, my brother.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Danny. And just know this, on Thanksgiving Day, I don't wear a belt.
That's a great point. Veteran moves.
Professional in that department.
This is true. All right, he's been around the sun a few times, and we'll see you coming up at Lawrence, Kansas, and Memorial Stadium. Thanks for joining us here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.